You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So they send you away. You have to be sensible.
And I know you want to go through the stack before Sam hands it to me every single day. I want the record to reflect, R.E., the last story we had in the 3 o'clock hour.
Right.
That was a Sam addition to the stack. I did not put that in there.
It's a health segment.
It's normal.
I put the most important informative stories that I can find in the stack. And if that has to do with number two,
okay, thank you,
that's
Sam.
My duty.
That's
nice.
Get out.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? Drop it?
Is 635 back open?
We're going to dump you from this show.
Okay. He's swinging.
Get out.
For the cycle.
No, it is not.
635 is closed. And you might be wondering why. Oh, let me paint the picture.
Why is 635 closed, Dana?
Someone dropped their load, Scott, again.
See, it's important to talk about.
A gigantic piece of industrial equipment, quote, broke loose.
Okay.
And landed on 635 Thursday afternoon. Thank God no one was killed. This thing is the size of a very, very large car.
What is it?
It looks like it's the size of an airplane engine.
Looks like a big turquoise ball.
I don't know of it's a mass of metal and rods and all of those things. The Kansas Highway Patrol says both ramps from eastbound and westbound I-70 to northbound 635 are closed while crews clear that scene. A photo shared by the Highway Patrol shows the massive teal-colored piece of equipment lying on its side in the roadway with debris scattered across multiple lanes. Thank God no injuries were reported, quoting here from the Highway Patrol. Load securement is important. Please make sure your chains and tie-downs are strong. Luckily, no injuries. It's going to take some time to get this cleared. Who is missing a 9,000-ton teal piece of equipment?
How do you not know that it just fell off
the back
of your
truck? How do you not know the earth would have
moved?
Oh, you know.
When this thing hit 635.
Like, I ain't going back to get that.
Good God.
Yes, I just confirmed with the traffic cameras. It is still very much shut down.
Really?
Do they go after whoever was driving that did not tamp that thing down? This is why, when I am in traffic, I will never get behind a truck ever, because I know 99.9% of the people hauling
flatbeds.
Yes, and I know 99% of people hauling things on flatbeds are perfectly
safe.
They are responsible. They don't want to kill 900 people just trying to get home from work. But I don't trust a one of them. I don't, because the one time I got behind something like that would be the one time, closed casket, that thing comes flying through my windshield.
Or maybe you're driving down I-35 and there's a guy with a bunch of metal that looks like he's taken to the scrapyard, and he has one strap on the back of it, and a stand-up freezer comes flying at you.
Yep. That's the one thing on that self-drive I can't stand. The car will always, on a highway, put you back in the right lane, far right lane. And it even if there's a semi in front of you or a flatbed.
I thought you didn't use it in the city.
I don't very often because of that. Because when you're driving, Scott, and you see up ahead, there's one of those trucks hauling like the cars that are stacked like a failed game of Jenga.
Oh, I will never get behind
any of
those.
I'm like, get away from me. I want to give you plenty of room. I'm sure those cars aren't going to come flying off there, but I don't know.
Yep.
So I go around it. Secure your load.
The one that always scares me is the ones that are carrying all of the underground piping, and the pipes are on the truck long ways, so you're looking down them as you're driving behind it. How do I know one of those isn't going to fly out and just go straight through my chest?
Here's the other one, rebar. Have you ever been behind rebar? That they haul the rebar this way.
I know better.
So I know it. Like, get me out of here.
Okay. Story here from the New York Post. Viral footage shows a corpse falling out of a casket.
Oh, God.
As it's being carried by pallbearers to its final resting place in Guyana. The pallbearers lifted the sky blue casket out of the hearse and had only taken a few steps on a grassy bank when the mishap happened during Sunday's bungled funeral service. Mourners at the ceremony held in the South American country screamed in horror as the body fell out of the casket from underneath. The casket bearers scrambled to put the body back inside.
No.
You gotta secure the load.
Exactly. No. Exactly.
See, where I think the pallbearers went wrong here is they walked forward and then set the now bottomless casket down on the ground and then addressed the situation. Would you not just set the casket straight down?
On top
Nothing
of the
to
body?
See here, people.
Yeah, we'll fix this later.
Slide some cardboard underneath.
There's a group. This was in my stack earlier this week, and we just didn't get to it. There's apparently a 20 acre, it's like a field, like a hay field, in a rural part of Minnesota.
Okay.
And a group for years has been trying to open that as a, quote, green cemetery, where you could theoretically tell your loved ones, just plop me down over there.
In the soil?
In
no
the soil.
Box.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And as you can imagine,
you're going to be eaten by bugs. Yeah,
neighbors are like, could we not do that over here?
Sign me up.
I wouldn't be opposed to that because I was planning to be cremated for the very reason that I don't want my body just rotting in a box.
Neighbors quickly rallied against the proposal, raising fears about groundwater contamination, wildlife disturbing the, quote, graves, and falling property values. This has been in court for years. They're fighting over this thing.
How do you know that when you're digging the hole to put somebody in?
Someone else isn't already down there?
And recently.
1-800 dig right.
Right. There would have to be a marking system for that.
Like
some sort of grid.
Okay to dig here. It was 10 years ago that we
right.
last put somebody
yes,
in here.
Absolutely.
And chances are they're completely gone.
It's just south of Duluth, by the way, if you want to look it up. People are not.
What do you want done with your body when you're dead?
I absolutely am cremation 100% of the way.
And let me guess, a golf course.
I don't know.
Hole 7.
Here's what I don't want to be.
CCL hole 7.
I was over there last weekend. I'm not so sure.
Is it hole 7 or hole 4?
7.
7, yeah.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want to be in some urn, weirdly, on some mantle where the kids walk by and they're like, hey, there's mom, you know, and then, you know, like that scene in Meet the Parents where the cat
yes.
urinates on the ashes.
Yes.
I think it's best just to
kitty litter
scatter. Yeah, I really do. Wherever that is, some peaceful place, find me a garden. I don't care, but I don't want to take up room and I don't want to be in some $10,000 steel box below ground.
I definitely don't want to be in an urn. Well, temporarily because the band Kiss has a Kiss urn. Of course they do. Because they'll put their name on anything and sell it because they're just greedy. But whatever. I would like to be in a Kiss urn for like a year. And
you want us to exhume you and transplant you somewhere else?
No, I'm going to be in the urn. I don't want you to bury it in the ground. You just keep it in the basement or something.
Okay.
And then somebody come over and get me.
You want us to come by and look at it?
No, not necessarily. You don't have to. I live in your hearts. Not in the basement.
Okay.
And I would like for somebody to come over and get me and then drive me down to a beach, like in Gulf Shores or in Florida somewhere, and just sprinkle me on the beach. Because let me interrupt, Sam. Sorry. And we've had this conversation before. My ashes are only going to be important.
One generation.
That's exactly right. And then at some point I end up in Deffenbaugh. And I'd rather be on a beach than a Deffen ball.
I firmly believe we need to bring back the Viking burial.
What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the fire over the water. And
ooh, that's sweet.
Put me on a wooden canoe, fill it up with a bunch of highly flammable things.
Yeah.
Set me on fire, send me down the river, and have a feast.
Would you play "This Girl Is on Fire" when you did it?
No, because I'm a guy.
When we get back.
Fire burning by
of
Sean
all
Kingston.
The things that could get you banned from like a Worlds of Fun or a Six Flags, I will tell you why one man has been banned from all Six Flags parks for life.
Really?
And it's the silliest little thing.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Hey, if you missed a segment, be sure to check out the Dane and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. From the New York Post, spare the rod. spoil the child.
No.
A recent study found that a large swath of Gen Z and millennial parents are using spanking as a form of punishment. Published in the Canadian Journal of Public Health, the research revealed that when the demographic of parents was asked whether they had ever spanked their child or children with their hand, 20% said yes. Meanwhile, 45% of Gen Xers admit to spanking their children.
It's higher than I thought it would be.
Experts say the practice is not beneficial and carries serious long-term consequences. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. I was spanked as a child.
I was spanked with a fly swatter once, and I never let my grandmother forget it.
I was spanked many times.
I sassed her. She goes, "Did you just sass me?" Whatever happened to that word?
Sass?
Was there anything worse than your mom turning around and going, "Did you just sass me?" No.
Did you ever have your mouth washed out with soap?
No, I was a rule follower, except the one time that I did sass my grandmother.
I remember being, probably 11, and I talked back to my mom. There's another phrase we don't use anymore, talk back. Talk back to me. And I talked back to my mom, and she goes, "Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't."
"Oh, no, you didn't." And I'm like, "Uh-oh." I was like Carl Lewis singing back. "Uh-oh. Let's try that again."
Can I walk that back?
And she walked me into my parents' bathroom at Fort Hood.
Oh.
And she lathered up. I'll never forget.
Oh, gross.
It was a half-used bar of Irish Spring.
That's like torquing my jaw just sitting here thinking about it.
So what other places had this soap been?
Correct.
Right? And she lathered up a half a bar of Irish Spring, and she said, Open your mouth. And she put that bar of Irish Spring, half of it, in my mouth, and I just stood there going,
"You sass me."
And then she took it out.
Now I feel very blessed that I got a fresh bar of Zest soap. Because that fresh used bar
zest.
Well, it was on her sink, so I'm assuming the only.
I don't care.
It wasn't like they were using it for their. It wasn't from the shower, is what I'm saying. So I'm assuming it was just for hands.
You still remember it? Almost certainly.
I do. Oh yeah. And then one time she spanked me with a wooden spoon, and it broke.
Yeah, that today would be illegal. That's battery.
And I said, "That's it. I'm turning you in for child abuse." And she grabbed the phone off the wall in the kitchen and goes, hands it to me and goes, "I'll dial."
In 2026, you would have been hauled away.
Which is crazy.
The CPS.
Which is crazy.
No, no, no. You cannot use an instrument. You shouldn't have been able to use it then. I know it was a different time.
It was a much different time.
You definitely should not be able to do it now.
You spanked one of your kids.
Okay, once.
Out of anger.
Out of just.
And you're not supposed to spank out of anger.
Panicked fear, which leads to rage, when she almost got struck by a car on Mass Street running out into traffic in front of Free State Brewery.
Mm-hmm. And you spanked her as an adult?
Oh, no, she was nine. Stop it. She was nine. And my mother has said for years, "You always remember that girl. You tell her at my funeral, she took 10 years off my life." She ran out in front. You know how the cars were parked angular.
Right.
And she just looked over, saw my mom and dad across the street where the Waxman's, what they had just parked.
Oh, my God.
And she just ran out to say hi to mom and dad. By the grace of God, there was no car coming either direction because she just darted out. And I was so stunned because at age nine, you think they're not going to do anything stupid like that. She was just tunnel vision, saw mom and dad. And I mean, I went, I swatted her on the butt. She looked at me like what just happened?
So if 20% of Gen Z and millennials admit that they have used their hand to strike their child in a spanking way, and 45% of Gen Xers admit the same thing, obviously corporal punishment in the home is going way down. So I ask you this. How do you punish a child when they do something wrong? Because bad behavior has to be punished, does it not?
It doesn't work as well as rewarding good behavior.
But when there is bad behavior, I understand. How do you correct it? Do you take away the phone? Take away their freedom? Lecture them like I used to do with Maya?
I'm going to sit you down and you're going to listen to me for 2 hours.
You want the 30 minute or the 40 minute?
I don't know. I never spanked my kids. They turned out completely fine. I promise you.
I believe that. I know your kids.
And they, yes, they made mistakes.
And you didn't punish them?
They were so good. I remember one time asking one of the girls something. And it wasn't even out of anger, but I said, did you like do this? Whatever. I don't even remember. She was like 11.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I don't want to lie to you. And I go, well, just tell me and then we'll have a discussion about it. So I think when I was a child, I was afraid of getting caught doing anything, lying, doing anything bad. Mm-hmm. Don't you sass me. Okay. And I don't think my kids were afraid of getting in trouble. They just, for the most part, you know, we had a couple of rocky things like everybody does their teenage years. But for the most part, they just did what they were supposed to do. I took a door off once. Someone slammed a door and I just removed it. That was funny. You know how easy it is to remove a door?
Very easy.
Really easy. By the way, fun fact, if you are not in the teenage years yet, the first time they slam that door, you just pop that sucker off its hinges. But do it when they're at school. So fun. And then they come home and you now have a drive-thru like where the door used to be.
You can leave the door in the room. Just make sure you take the bolts.
Yeah. Take the bolts. I think maybe a month I kept that door off.
I mean, my kids were, for the most part, well-behaved. But I mean, Sarah and Maya, I mean, they both did stuff that... Oh.
Did you spank them ever?
I think I did early on. And not hard. I mean, it wasn't crazy.
A swat.
It was just a quick swat. And then... I started getting a little bit more inventive, you know, with the lecture. I mean,
I'd rather be spanked than just sit there and listen to you.
I'm telling you. And I would just sit there. This was back in my drinking days. Like, I can distinctly remember one night Maya did something. I can't remember what it was. This was in Ropo. And she had a very comfortable chair in her room that I had put in there. Mm-hmm. And she did something that I thought was just not okay. And I went and poured myself a glass of wine, walked into her room, and I said, do you want the 30 or the 40?
30 or the 40-minute lecture?
Mm-hmm. And she
that
goes,
to me is traumatizing.
She goes, I'll take the 30. And I just sat there and I just talked.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes.
And you were going to look at me and you were going
to
listen?
She had to sit on the edge of her bed. I'm not, Dana,
that is
I'm not
terrible.
I'm not kidding. And I would just talk about the most routine,
yeah,
boring things. And all she wanted to do was get back out in the living room and watch TV.
Corporal punishment does not work. And if you look this up, I bet you it is meted out more against boys than it is girls.
Probably.
That is my guess.
Yeah.
And they have studied this ad nauseum, Scott. I don't want to say you grow up traumatized and all the people that are committing crimes were spanked as a child, but there are some unhealthy correlations to corporal punishment and later behavior in life.
Is there a chance the pendulum has swung too far the other way and
perhaps
now we're seeing the aftermath of soft parenting?
Perhaps.
Because we hear the horror stories all over the place of how kids act in schools these days.
But the horror stories are what makes the news. The good kid that never did anything wrong. That doesn't make the news. I don't think it's any worse than it was. I really don't. I think phones have exacerbated things like bullying.
Let me tell you this, and hang on, Sam, just real quick. I know a number of people in education who are our age, okay?
Yeah.
Who grew up in the same era, who will tell you, yes, there are plenty of good kids in high schools around the country, but the bad behavior actors are much worse than they were when you and I were growing up. It's much worse.
To the bad stories being the only ones that make the news, we only hear about the serial killers that were swatted that make the news. We don't hear about the 95, 92% of society that turned out completely normal.
Despite the fact they were swatted.
Correct.
But that fly swatter, I'll never forget it. And she was chasing me, and I kept running around and around and around. She was like, don't you sass me. And I'm like, ah!
Did you get one or how many?
I think it was like three. I'm still in therapy.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. So... Dana's got a little golf outing tomorrow that she's going on. I've been planning this for months. Really looking forward to it. And she just said to me during the break, during the forecast, she goes, "If it," and I'm not going to tell you where she's going, but it's not far. And she goes, "If it rains where we're going tomorrow, I'm going to be," and she goes, "What's the word? Word? Apoplectic."
I just looked outside, it's raining. And I asked 2 days ago, "Is it going to rain this week?" You're like, no, it's not going to rain at all.
I looked up the place where you're going tomorrow and for your little golf outing.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't look good.
I'm assuming Johnny's going with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have been planning this for a long time.
I believe it's a 90% chance.
The weather, the temperature is going to be 74. I mean,
fabulous.
That is perfect for a golf outing. Chance of rain is 75%.
Are you golfing tomorrow or Saturday?
Yep, Sam, yes. Don't want to talk about it.
Both days?
Yep.
Well, because Saturday's even worse.
I know,
that's
going to
be
I
severe
know.
Thunderstorms.
I reached out to them today, and I'm like, "So what is the policy with the rain?" And they go, "What do you mean?"
We're a
do
golf
course.
Do you have
course. A bag of wooden clubs? And I mean all wooden.
It'll be fine.
Saturday... chance of rain is 70%, but this one includes lightning.
Great. Good times.
Maybe just get a bottle of wine and some bourbon and snuggle up next to the fireplace.
What are we going
to
do?
Well, it's a beautiful course for it to be your last.
Let's go to Aubrey in Green Valley. Hello, Aubrey.
Hello. Love you guys and love our show.
Oh, thank you, man. Really appreciate you saying that.
So I got the repertoire of swats and spankings and hair pulls and ear pulls and you know, verbal rationing or verbal rashes, like all that stuff. But one of the most memorable punishments was sentence writing. If you had to sit down and write the mistake that you made, or "I will not make this mistake again," punctuated correctly, spelled correctly, and if any of it was wrong, you had to start over. That was a good one. So it helped.
A good one.
And, so anyways, just something to think about. Yeah, food for thought.
I appreciate it. And you reminded me of something. Whatever happened to the good old-fashioned ear pull?
Oh, no.
Where you get pulled down the hall
absolutely
by your ear.
Absolutely not.
You're beating.
That's battery.
You just grab him by the ear. Let's go for a walk.
Or, you know, my dad used to say, "Go get me my belt." Remember, your dad would make you go get the instrument of your spanking.
My dad was in charge oftentimes of the spanking, and he never gave me one.
You wait until your dad gets home. Yeah.
He would slap his knee and say, "Start crying, kid." And he would slap his knee, and then I'm in the bathroom going, "Oh, God, dang it."
You better sell it or you're really getting hit.
Mm-hmm. Mark in Olathe. Mark, hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the reminder of what my grandmother used to do. She was a lot older, so she didn't, you know, go to the, you know, the belt or anything. She'd just grab you by the ear and you'd go for a walk.
Oh, God!
You'd go for a slow walk down, you know, around the house, you know, wherever, you know, until her tan got tired. So, but, you know, the real reason I called was, you know, this would be assault nowadays, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Battery, whatever you want to call it, but my dad had one of those country western old belts that, you know, the rawhide leather that was branded with his name on the back of it, right in the middle. And when he never had us go get the belt, he'd just take it off right there in front of you. And if you started crying before it happened, it was 10 times worse.
Mm.
But you'd go to the bathroom and look at your rear end and you'd see letters, you know, from his name.
Oh, my gosh, Mark.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't grow up to be a serial killer. Most of my friends, you know, our punishment, if dad found out about it from the neighbors or school or somebody out in the public,
yeah,
it was 10 times worse than him catching you. If he caught you, you're more likely just going to get yelled at and put in your place. But, you know, you embarrass the family, that's a whole nother story. But I can tell you that, you know, I don't think these kids can take the tough parenting nowadays like what we got back then, because, well, everybody looked out for each other, and it was a challenge to not get caught. It wasn't the fear of
right.
dad catching you. It was the neighbor catches you. Oh, it's on.
Right.
And have a nice day.
All right, man.
So that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Did you ever threaten to run away from home?
As an adult?
No.
I'm leaving. Go Marie Osmond. Remember, she just left.
Yes.
She's like left her kids. She's like, I've had it. No, I would have
never
been
threatened to leave.
Terrified to be away from the adults in my life when I was a child.
Huh.
I was terrified at the thought, to the point that one day they probably scraped together all the pennies that they had, because we were so poor way, way back when, to get me to go to this day camp on the grounds of Washburn University. And the only thing I remember about it was being sick to my stomach, being so terrified. I did not want to go. I didn't know anybody. And my dad took me there, and we get there, and one of the camp counselors said, oh, this must be Dana. Hi, come on. And I go, and I just start crying, and I'm like, I don't want to. And we just got back in the car. He took me to the babysitter's house, and that was the end of that.
Huh. Now, I want to be very clear, in case she's listening. I could not have had better parents, but I did get spanked from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom.
Did you get spanked more or your brother?
Oh, probably me would be my guess. I can't, because he's still in public education. I can't get into the stories about my brother, but when he is done teaching someday,
oh, yes.
I will share
treasure
some,
trove.
But my dad would cover for my brother. I won't get into the details, but I remember my brother had gotten into a little bit of trouble, and he goes, we're going to fix this before mom gets home.
Yeah, sure.
And my brother's like, okay, Dad, thanks.
Okay,
and
whatever you need me to do.
Yeah, and so my dad, I don't think he liked my brother more than me or me more than my brother, but he, you know, my brother was the baby of the family, and my dad would make sure that when my brother got in trouble, he got out of it real quick.
What about this one from the text line? This is going to hurt me
more than
it will hurt you.
That is a lie. I've heard that before. And that is a lie.
That one takes you back.
Yes. I remember one time, all these were like when I was 11 and 12.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if that was like my rebellion stage or whatever, but I remember threatening my mother that I was going to leave the house. I was going to run away. And in Texas, we didn't have a garage. We had a carport with a little side storage room, and it was outside.
Yeah.
And she went out there, and we were in the kitchen. It was always in the kitchen. I don't know why. And I threatened to run away. And she goes, you're going to run away. And I go, yeah. And she goes out to that storage room outside by the carport, and she gets out a small piece of luggage, goes into my room, lays it on my bed, opens it up, and starts putting my clothes in there. And I walked in there and I go, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm helping you pack. You want to run away so bad. Let's get it going.
You got to make sure you got an extra pair of underwear in there.
That's exactly right. Let's go to Dylan on line 4. You get the last word. Hello, Dylan.
So the grandmother stories made me remember one of my own. I'll keep it short and simple. My mom's tool of choice was a wooden cooking spoon for my discipline when it came to that, instead of a switch or a belt. And I remember one time she was hounding me to clean my room, and I just didn't do it because, you know, being like 8 years old, you don't want your mom to find out your little secret you got. Well, I went to my dad's house for the weekend, and that little secret that I had was all of her wooden cooking spoons in the bottom of my toy box where she couldn't find them.
Oh, no.
And then another time when I was about 9 or 10 was when I really started getting my rebellion phase going. And I was at my grandmother's house, and she was mad because I spilt the Kool-Aid she had made while getting myself a cup. Well, she got mad at me, and I wasn't allowed to go do what I wanted to do from being in trouble. And I was like, well, how much more trouble can I get in? And her and I were arguing. Being 10, arguing with your grandmother, not a good idea.
No.
But I decided to look her in the eyes and then dump the Kool-Aid on the linoleum. And she proceeded to slap me and then use me as a mop to clean it up.
Oh, my gosh, Dylan. Were you spongy? So,
yeah. So that,
he's amazingly absorbent.
Yeah.
It's like Downy. Wow. All right, man. By the way, how long are you going to be at this place to play golf?
Probably 72 hours.
Are you going to be there on Sunday?
Yeah, we might bump it out another day if
there
we get rained out.
There is a bit of a window on Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Did anyone else get the racetrack section?
No.
To your behind?
No.
The Hot Wheels orange.
The only thing I ever got was a
racetrack section.
Was either a hand or a wooden spoon.
That thing had some snapback to it.
Texture said that they loved Hot Wheels and would ask for new Hot Wheels every Christmas. And they stopped pretty quickly.
Yep.
Because it gave their parents more.
God, and it had Sam, it had this little plastic
weapons.
Tongue coming out of one.
Oh yeah.
Little silicone plastic tongue, which mm-hmm. was the groove that you would fit it into the other one.
Right.
That thing got to the back of your legs. Woo!
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. A longtime Google security engineer is being accused of using confidential company data to place illicit polymarket bets that won him $1.2 million. The latest alleged case of insider trading on a prediction market, according to prosecutors in New York. It was unsealed in New York City. Michelle Spagnuolo, 36, an Italian who lives in Switzerland, who has worked at Google since 2014, has been charged with one count of commodities fraud, wire fraud, and money laundering.
Did you read what she did? I can explain it, I think, better than the story does. I had to read it twice.
By the way, she went by the name Alpha Raccoon.
Right, Alpha Raccoon worked for Google.
And by the way, it's a he.
Yes.
Even though the name's Michelle.
Had access to all of the inner workings of Google, as did all of the employees. You know, every year toward the end of the year, they will come out with what is the most Google searched name of the year.
Mm-hmm. Google Trends.
Google Trends. Like, what is the most Google search name?
Kind of like Spotify does with your song.
Yeah, if you work for Google, you have access to the interior trends before it's released to People Magazine. Mm-hmm. So this ding-a-ling goes into the computer system at Google, looks up for forever. The most searched name was like LeBron James or something.
It was Kendrick Lamar.
Thank you. It was Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar. Until one day it wasn't, and the most searched name was David, who now stands accused, whatever that ding-a-ling's name is,
the singer,
of slaughtering a teenage girl that was found dismembered in his front trunk.
Celeste.
So he knew, this Google employee, that David was going to be the most searched person of the year because he overtook, in Google search terms, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. He goes to this offshore betting website, plops down however much money that David is going to be end up being the most searched thing of the year.
$381.
And then makes like $2 million.
1.2. Yep. Can't do that.
How are you going to stop it if you are allowing bets on every stupid thing? Well, not even stupid thing. Like when someone politically is going to be assassinated. If you are mm-hmm. allowing bets on that, yeah. You are literally inviting fraud. Sam, yes.
Google Trends are available to the public. It's not insider knowledge.
But at that point, it had not been released. Is the way the story
Sam, reads. It was absolutely internal data that he used. Then he placed the bet. Then, then he covered his tracks. Because he's a tech person, clearly. Mm-hmm. He tried to cover his tracks to make it look like it wasn't him that placed the bet. Someone figured it out. It's a very unusual bet to make. Is he charged with like money laundering or fraud?
It is money laundering, wire fraud, and commodities fraud.
Always going to get you on the wire fraud.
Because at the time that Alpha Raccoon placed that bet for $381, Polymarket had listed David as a near zero probability of being the most searched person. And he had accessed the internal data 3 hours before making the wager, allegedly, according to law enforcement. Well, just like that U.S. Master Sergeant who placed the bet on the Venezuelan president.
Coup or what was it? He was removed from power. And one of the guys that was in charge of the entire secret operation.
He was involved in it,
my
yes.
God.
Akon right now, by the way, up 1,600% on Google today. People searching Akon, and what is Akon's real name?
I don't know.
That's just interesting. Why is Akon in the news? You guys know who Akon is, right?
No.
How do you spell it?
A-K-O-N. He's a very popular rapper.
No. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Disregard. Oh,
yeah. His real name is...
We are not up with the rap things, Sam. I'm just telling you.
That was like 15 years ago.
The first story I ever read at Channel 5 about a Grammy thing, I called him Kanye West. I did that. I looked right into that prompter and I owned it. And I said, he's an up-and-comer, Kanye West.
News with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.